we have been kind of sojourning in the book of James thus far, and we kind of got to the end of that first chapter last time in, and so I guess we will pick up in the second chapter in James. If you would like to locate James chapter 2. And we said that James is a very practical book. And people have tried to pit James against Paul and say that they taught different types of doctrine, because Paul seems to be very forward about making sure you understand salvation completely by grace. But James does not want you to abuse that grace. So he teaches you that when you have received salvation by grace, that it produces good works in your life. So people try to say, oh, James teaches works and Paul teaches grace, which is not true. They both teach the same thing. That's just two different perspectives on the same thing. So, and James thought it was important to accentuate the good works, because some people will misunderstand and misapply being fallen. They misunderstand and misapply grace and try to use it for a license. So James wants to make sure you don't use grace as a license to say that, oh, since I have grace, I can go and do anything. Well, James says, nope, you better check yourself, because if you're not doing the right thing, then evidently you have not received God's grace. And that's all he wants to do, is draw you to see that salvation by grace produces good works through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes.
And I know there has been a great debate concerning salvation. And people would say that also, in the sense of saying that because we have eternal salvation, that we cannot be unsaved, that nothing that we can do can cause us to lose our salvation. And I've known some pastors that would say the reason why they don't teach that is because they feel that people feel that they have a license to do whatever they want to do, as a result that they can't not be unsaved.
All right, well, see, the whole thing is, I would not say I would want to teach anything. I only want you to know what God teaches. So it's not even important what I think, you know, if it's not what God said. And so on that subject, the scriptures teach that salvation, those who are saved, are saved forever. Now, and we can prove that with scripture. So we'd have to go by what the scripture says, and I depart from people's opinions, and even mine. I even denounce my own, because all I believe is what God said. And if I can't convince you with scripture to go after what God said, then I'm not interested to convince you to think what I think, you know, when God is clear about what he said. So if God is the one saving you, you know, there's, you have nothing to do with it in that sense, then you will remain saved, or else it's not God who's doing it. See what I'm saying? Because God, the Bible says, he who has began a good work in you, so that means you didn't start it, he did, shall is able to perform it, or he shall continue it even until the day of Jesus Christ. So either that's true or it's not. So if he ever started the work in you, if it was God who started it, he's going to finish it. That's what that says. So if somebody thinks he's not, then that's you. That's between you and whoever else you can persuade with that. But if you want to say the scriptures teach that God starts the work and finishes it. See what I'm saying? So if you have ever entered into it, now it's possible, James said, check and make sure you're not deceiving your own self. You know, that's why James is critical here, to make you check yourself. Even Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. So it's not a question on God's end if salvation is eternal. It is. Because that's the only way that it can be. If he's doing it, it's going to be done. See, because everything God starts, he has no incomplete assignments.
Amen.
All of his assignments are complete. So the question is, have you checked yourself to make sure he started it in you? If he did, then he's going to finish it. That's all I can say. And I can't tell you if you're saved or not, and I wouldn't try to do that. I would never tell any of you are saved, because that's not for me to do. You better know you're saved.
You need to know that, right?
You know, and I better know I'm saved.
That's right.
See, I got to check myself. So I wouldn't go around telling people you're saved, because I don't know if you're saved or not. I really can't speak for you. I don't live with you. Even if I do live with you, I don't live in you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not able to tell you how you feel or what's going on in your mind. But the scripture tells you, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. And then you got verses like this. And this is the stuff that causes the debate, that fuels that debate 1 John 2 and 9, 19 says that they went out from us, for they were not all of us, for had they have been of us, they would no doubt have stayed with us, but they went out that it might be seen that they were not all of us. So some people are going to be leaving, going out. And that means they never were with you to start with. They were never saved from the word go. So there's going to be a lot of people play church and they're not saved at all. They come in, they hear a little bit, and they go out. Jesus said the same thing in the parable of the sower. He said a sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed, and it went everywhere, and some of it fell upon good soil. And he said others fell by the wayside, and some fell among the thorn and thistle, and some fell upon stony ground. You know, and it was the same word. God's word never changed. The seed is the word of God, he went on to define. And he said that some of it that fell by the wayside, the fowls of the air came and ate it up, took it away. It never took root at all. So that's folks who heard the word and were not saved. See, and others it fell among thorn and thistle, and it said then when it tried to grow, the thorns and thistle choked the life out of it, and it died. And some of it fell up on stony ground, and it didn't have deepness of root, so it withered when the sun hit it, and it fell away. So a lot of all kind of people are hearing the word, and the word doesn't change. The seed is the same seed, and some fell up on good soil, and it produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So it has different amounts of fruitfulness in the lives even of those who do get saved. That's why you see some Christians are more productive and more fruitful for God than others. See what I'm saying? So because there's 30, 60, and 100-fold. But all Christians that are saved produce some kind of fruit. And all the ones who are not, who heard the word and they fell away or choked the life out or the birds ate it up, those people were never saved, even though they heard the same word. See? And so God is also careful to tell you, he gives the parable of the tares and the wheat. That there will be some people who are not saved, and they're going to be right in there with the folks to save. But you don't know the difference, so leave them alone. Don't you worry about that. It's not your job. See what I'm saying? There can be somebody right in your midst that has the illusion that they're saved, or they might look like they're not saved, but you don't really know yourself. So it's not for us to make judgments of that sort unless a person is overtly doing something. He said, you don't know the difference between the tares and the wheat. So you let them grow together. That's why people have to be careful about trying to judge folks, like we've heard folks say recently, let's just start judging people and throwing them out. Well, you don't have the ability to judge people and throw them out. See what I'm saying? And they'll separate themselves if they're not right. If you keep teaching the truth, the truth will make you free, or it's going to draw you or drive you. See, so if you go out and you don't want to hear the truth, then evidently you were not saved. You know, but I don't really know that, and I wouldn't make that judgment just because the person went out. See what I'm saying? But the fact is, if you are teaching the truth, then it's you're watering one plant, Paul says, and another waters, right? But God gives the increase, so God is going to be giving the increase to the people who are being saved. You know what I'm saying? And even when you are saved, doesn't mean you will receive everything, because everybody has a different level of understanding, and that grows with time.
Amen.
So that's why he said there's be some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Because then that fruitfulness depends on how you allow the seed that God has given you, which is his word, to be cultivated in your life. You know. And so James really digs into that too. And so he's concerned about that. But all I would say is the same thing Paul said. Examine yourself. Each of us have to look at our own selves and give, because you will give an account. When you stand before God, your pastor won't be there. See? When your pastor stand before God, you won't be there. See what I'm saying? When your mother will not be there, it's going to be a personal thing, you and God. So whatever is in your life is going to be seen, because he's going to be looking at you directly. See? And so you better know, I got to give an account to God. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue. That's individual. See what I'm saying? He says every, then he's talking about a knee and a tongue.
And a tongue.
You see? So everybody has a tongue and a knee. You're going to be with him yourself, and every tongue will confess.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? Amen. So it didn't say there's going to be two or three tongues in there. So there can't nobody intercede for you then but Jesus. He's the only one. one who's going to be your intercessor. And he said, if you confess me before men, I will also confess you. See what I'm saying? So he'll be there to intercede for you if you're his. Otherwise, he'll be saying, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I didn't ever know you.
Never knew you.
See that?
Yes.
So that's the kind of thing. And all of that is the word.
Mm-hmm.
See, so don't let somebody tell you, I don't believe in eternal salvation. Well, you better check your Bible. The Bible says there's eternal salvation for everyone who trusts God.
Oh, yeah.
God is not doing an incomplete work on anybody.
Amen.
If he's doing the work on you, it's right and it's complete and it's perfect, it's holy, it's spotless, it's pure. And but if you're doing it, yeah, I would be concerned if it's eternal or not, if you think you're the one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no wonder you lost.
That's right.
Because you don't have any power to save yourself.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, but if God is doing it, it's done.
Right.
It is finished, Jesus said, right?
It's finished.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's right, it's finished.
So that's the whole thing on that argument. And I would sit them down and say, well, why don't you believe your Bible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you don't, no wonder you tripping.
I'd say you're in a sad situation.
You don't know.
As far as I'm concerned. Because God says salvation is given to those who trust him. But I don't know if you are one who trusts him or not. I'm not able to call that for you.
Right.
You have to call it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know it, then I would make sure I find out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. I would tell that person, you make sure you better go check and make sure you know you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're saved or not. I hope you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to see that everybody would be saved.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at it, how about this? God said, it's not my desire that how many should perish?
Yeah.
See, so he don't have no desire for you to perish.
Right.
At all. It's not his desire.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're perishing, whose fault is that? It's not his desire.
Right.
So you need to check your desire and see, is it your desire to line yourself up with God?
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Amen.
Because he has no desire for you to perish. And how else do you know? You know, because he gave his son.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he give his son and then you perish?
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you my son so you don't have to perish.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm broadcasting it in the world. That's what the gospel is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So why should you perish?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not my fault if you perish, God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I gave Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Jesus gave himself.
Mm-hmm.
See, and he's given the Holy Spirit if you believe in him. So why should you perish? See what I mean? He did all that to keep you out of hell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go to hell and say it's not permanent, okay, then you're calling God a liar. That's why I like Romans 3 and 3. Let God be true. Though every man, how many men? Every man. A liar. I would check and make sure I'm not listening to a liar and I'm listening to God.
Yeah, right.
See what I'm saying?
Because
if God is true and every man is a liar, then I don't believe you. I believe God.
That's
he said here, salvation is eternal.
Amen.
Right.
You know, and so that's where I'm going. I'm putting my mind on what thus saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care what thus saith man. If you doubt it, that's between you and Satan.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Because God said he is true and every man is a liar. So I don't believe you. Yeah, I quickly tell you, I don't believe you. I believe the
word.
Scripture.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, so you got to go back to the word.
Mm-hmm.
See, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go over here and say, oh, well, this church over here don't believe in eternal salvation. Well, y'all go to hell together over there. I'm not coming over there.
Go
I'm going to come right back here and continue in his word.
Go join that club.
See what I'm saying? I don't want to be in y'all's club because God is saving people.
Right.
And he sent his son and died for us.
Yeah.
He got about the grave said, all power is given
to me.
So you ain't got no power.
That's
he got no power.
That's right.
So I believe him.
That's right.
I'm not believing you over there where y'all going to hell and you don't know whether you're going to heaven or not. I don't believe that. See what I'm saying? Not me personally.
Right.
That's up to each person individually.
Right.
If you believe something, you know, why do you believe it? That's what I would ask.
Right.
Do you believe because you found it here?
Mm-hmm.
It was rightly divided from here?
Mm-hmm.
See, and you should see the fruit of it in your life from here.
Yes.
And that's what James is really concerned about. He doesn't want any sucker branches hanging around. Jesus said, if you don't produce no fruit, my father's a husbandman, he's going to prune you and cut you off.
Yes.
Right. See what I'm saying? And if he says he's going to cut you off and throw you in the fire if you ain't producing no fruit.
Right.
But if you are producing fruit, I'm going to prune you and make you better where you produce more fruit.
Yeah.
See, so you should be seeing productivity in your life.
Right.
You should see your life getting better and more Christ-like. You should see more holiness coming in your life and less sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The tree is
See what I'm saying? Because the tree is known by the fruit, as he said.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's God doing it, it's being done and it's being done well.
Wow.
And you know it. It's not something that can happen to you and you don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? You should see it in your life. It should be evident. That's why Paul said to Timothy that he told Timothy to let your progress be seen by all men. Let them all see. I mean, they should be able to see. It should be evident to them that you are growing in Christ. Mm-hmm. And you see it all through the whole Bible there. You know, I'm going to go thinking about, we're looking at James chapter 2, but I'm just going to give you something here. But look at let's go to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says this, this is Acts 4. He says a number of things to Timothy here. Let's see here. There's so many things you can look at in here. That because he says himself. Now see, even this, just because you are saved, let's go back to 1. Go to 1 Timothy 1 first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, chapter 1.
Oh, chapter 1.
Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, these are very dear to us, being that we are Timothy, St. Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And you look here and he says, let me just read some of this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That's just what those folks who you talk about.
Right.
No, there is no eternal salvation. Why charge you? Don't teach that, because that's a lie.
Amen.
God is not, doesn't have any false or impartial or partial salvation. He doesn't have that. That's not a part of his word. That's false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, administer questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do.
Mm-hmm.
See, I should be telling you what God is doing, not what he's not doing, because you don't know about that. See what I'm saying? But let's go on. Now, the end of the commandment is charity or love, some translations say, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned,
mm-hmm.
from which some, having swerved, here it is, have turned aside unto vain jangling.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying whatever they want. Mm-hmm. That's loose lips, we could say. Vain jangling, worthless mm-hmm. chatter, mm-hmm. some translations say.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? They're rabbling their mouth, but it's not from God.
Mm-hmm.
So, because they ain't telling you what God said. Oh, there is no eternal salvation. Well, I don't know, believe that. I don't know what God you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
That must be Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of his adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
Or emissaries, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding mm-hmm. neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They'll tell you this is the facts.
Mm-hmm.
They'll beat you up a little bit three or four times. You ain't going to go to hell. Okay, God's not trying to send nobody to hell. The Bible's clear that he is not the author of confusion.
That's right.
First of all, he is it's not his desire that any should perish.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So what kind of a salvation is that?
Mm-hmm.
If it's taken, you can lose it as quick as you got it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did God start that one? Evidently not. Because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't have any partial work that he's doing. His work is complete.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then all you do is look at everything else. Take a look at anything that God made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look at how birds reproduce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how trees grow.
Mm-hmm.
And all the perfection is in a orange, and you can pop the seeds out, drop them in the ground, and get more oranges.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lacking anything. It's powerful.
Right.
It's mind-blowing.
Yes,
scientists don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give them the rest of their life, all the computers, all the money, all the
mm-hmm.
time. They can never reproduce what he did. And that's a perfect thing. It's a good and perfect gift.
Yes.
It came from God. And that's true of soul, of everything he made. The heavens declare his glory.
Mm-hmm.
The firmament shows his handiwork.
Mm-hmm.
So what God is doing is all good.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it's perfect. Every good and perfect gift.
Yes.
See, salvation is a good and perfect gift.
Yes,
he gave his good and perfect son
mm-hmm.
to provide it to ungodly, wretched sinners because of his perfect love,
mm-hmm.
which cast out fear and ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So don't let people take you down a dark road, because God's not trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now these people are desiring, verse 7, to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, see that, mm-hmm. nor whereof they affirm, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Mm-hmm. So even though the law is something that can't save you, it's a good thing.
Right.
You know, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God gave the law to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to show the difference between the righteous and the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to prove where you are.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Either you're right or you're not. And so you'll see the law, and it'll make you cry out for a Savior, is what it will do.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, he said the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. See what I'm saying? For they, he says, notice this, he says, but for the lawless and disobedient, he says here, for it's not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, all these kind of people here. These are not the righteous, obviously. These are people who disobey and break the law. See that?
Mm-hmm.
For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. That's one of those long King James translations.
Mm-hmm.
The word is arsenicoites, which is homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Simply put, and King James in 1611 would never put the word homosexual. That's like a curse word.
Mm-hmm.
So he translated it for them that defile themselves with mankind.
Mm-hmm.
To get around, that's like five words to translate one word from the Greek arsenicoites.
Mm-hmm.
If you look that up. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. See, sound doctrine teaches you not to do those things.
Yes.
So when somebody come along and say, oh, you can be all that and just be a part of the church and be one big happy family. No, you cannot. This verse says no.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be that. See what I'm saying? That's unholy. It's ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
You're a murderer. You're doing everything against the law. And the law says these things are lawless deeds.
Right.
These are anti-God deeds.
Amen.
So we can't confirm and affirm people in sin and say that you're okay just because Jesus died for you.
Mm-hmm.
He died for you to save you from that.
Right.
To get you out of that.
Yes.
See, to bring you out of that. So here, all of this here, this is the stuff the false teachers confirm. It says, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind, verse 10, men stealers, for liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing. See that?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, it's a blanket to cover whatever else. Bestiality, that stuff you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust.
Mm-hmm.
So the gospel is against all that.
Yes, it is.
See what I'm saying? People practicing that. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And that's like, what, you know, he considers how he was. He was beating people and he was murdering folks, saying he's doing it in the name of God.
Because
you people in the way, all messed up. We got to get y'all back to the law of Moses, is what he thought. But he was wrong as two left shoes. That's why he says, according to the, he says, and I thank God, Christ Jesus, our Lord, who enabled me. See that? For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. See that? So he says the ignorant and unbelieving are the people practicing these things.
Yes.
Not the saved under the glorious gospel of Christ. You can see it in the text there. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now here we go. Here, and I'm trying to get you somewhere, but you had to see this background for it to make sense. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He says that in the present tense. Even though I'm saved, I'm still conscious of sinful stuff that's in my life. See, so what the gospel does is wakes you up to what sin is, so you can see it and evaluate it, judge it, and get away from it.
Right.
That's the reason for it. It turns on a light in darkness that's in your life. So you can see it and agree with God about it.
Amen.
But if you don't agree with God, you're never going to get fixed.
That's right.
See, so for me to sit here and say, oh, I was born this way, so I'm going to stay this way, well,
right.
Then you ain't going to get fixed. The light of the gospel says you might think you were born that way, but God is fixing you, and he makes a way for you to escape those things.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? To bring you out of those things. He doesn't want you to stay in those things.
Right.
Obviously not. How am I saving you? That'd be like if I say, okay, I'm going to save you. You in there drowning. Just stay in there, though. I'm going to sit over here while you go down another time.
Mm-hmm.
You go down again, you come up. I say, okay, stay over there, I'm saving you. Mm-hmm. And you go down again. Mm-hmm. And I keep sitting there. Well, saving you is get you out of there,
yeah,
right?
Right?
It's not leave you in there and let you go down over and over until you die, because eventually you're not going to come up anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see what I'm saying? So if I'm saving you, I'm getting in, getting you out of danger.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out of danger when I bring you out, not when I leave you in.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So you're not out of danger till you get out. And if I'm saving you, I'm bringing you out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not leaving you in. You in there in a burning house. Okay, I'm saving you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting over here and watching you in there and it's burning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just stay there. I'm saving you.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you ain't saving me. What you mean? I'm in here and I can't get out. You see what I'm saying? No, if I'm saving you, I'm getting up, coming over there to get you and bring you out of the burning house. I can't leave you in there.
Mm-hmm.
So see what I'm saying? So that's what these people are saying. They're saying, oh, I can stay in there and I'm still saying, no, you're not. You got to get out of there.
Right.
You can't live in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's destructive to your being. God is saving you.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing you out of the thing that's destroying you. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling this to Timothy. Let's move a little bit more here. At verse 16, Paul says, I am the chief. So he acknowledges he still has issues, even though he is the spokesperson for God. I'm writing Bible for God.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the chief of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I can see myself the way God sees me.
Mm-hmm.
God turned on his light in my mind, and I know some of this in here is not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to change. It's not acceptable to him. But the only reason he's accepted me is because of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't leave it like this.
Mm-mm.
Something's got to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He sees it. Notice what he says, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy.
Yeah.
Now, what is mercy?
Grace.
Mm-hmm. What is mercy?
Grace.
Hmm?
Grace.
It is a form of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you don't get what you deserve,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get what you deserve.
Like your kid, you went in there, you broke my china.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give you what I'm thinking, but I'm going to send you to your room and make you, I'm going to give you something less than what I'm thinking. I'm thinking,
right.
Let me get this stick and whack you about five times.
Right. A mother would.
You know, but mercy says, okay, I'm going to put you on punishment and take your cell phone, lock you in your room,
yeah.
and you get in there and read books, and I'm turning off your TV. That's mercy.
Because
you didn't get what you should have got.
Right.
Right.
You know, and I'm going to keep your allowance for the next 10 weeks to pay for these dishes. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to make you go back and buy them and with your money.
Mm-hmm.
That's mercy. It's not as bad as what you could have got.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
So he says he obtained mercy. I didn't get what I deserved,
mm-hmm.
which is a form of grace. I always say mercy is the grace that doesn't give you what you deserve. You see? And so then he says that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to what? Everlasting life. See that? Yeah, of course he couldn't help but stop and praise the Lord right there. So in either case, then he starts to instruct Timothy here. We could probably have taken a whole study on this because it's really, really good. And notice this, let's cut to chapter 4. This is what I wanted you to see at first, but I wanted you to see the background here.
Down the river.
Yeah, let's go to verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
4:11. Somebody read the 1 Timothy 4:11.
These things command and teach.
Mm-hmm.
Let no man despise thy youth,
mm-hmm.
but be thou an example of the believers.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Be an example. So the person teaching is supposed to be a model mm-hmm. of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
See that? Now read
Amen.
On.
In word.
In conversation.
In conversation.
In charity.
Mm-hmm.
In spirit. In faith. In purity.
See that? Now does any of that sound like that stuff on that list of sinners?
Mm-hmm.
No. The exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's saying that let nobody despise you. Youth, just because you're young doesn't mean you can't be holy.
That's right.
You see? And it doesn't mean you don't have authority. God has given you authority. Right. He's given you a gift to teach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See? Mm-hmm. And the authority is not you. It's what did I say?
Right.
This is the authority.
That's the authority.
It's not me personally. I have no authority whatsoever,
right.
except that I point you to what God says.
Right.
And that's the gift that I have, is to stay in the Word and help you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
See? Yes. And so my authority comes from telling you this is what God said on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I have any personal authority,
mm-hmm.
but my authority is and my gift is that God has shown me what he said and how to make it explicit so his people understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the Great Commission. What is it? It says, go ye therefore in all the world and what?
Teach.
Teach who? Teach all the nations. See what I'm saying? So the gift, the church's mission is to teach. And we have people today, right now, and I hear it all the time. You probably do too, and maybe you even said it. It's, oh, he's a good preacher, but he can't teach. Well, how you know? No, wait a minute now. Come on now. Boy, oh, he teaches, but he's not really a preacher. Well, come on now.
What you doing then?
How can you separate that? If I'm telling you what's in here, I'm preaching the word. The Bible says preach what? The word.
The word.
It didn't say preaching is how much noise you can make and how many times you can stomp the floor and backflips and all that. Where? Show me that. If it's in there, somebody show me. I haven't seen it.
Have you ever heard them say all preachers are not teachers?
See, I hear that all the time, but is that what God said?
Right.
All teachers are preachers, but all preachers are not teachers.
Well, that's crazy though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the Bible says faith comes out
by hearing,
and hearing what? By the word of God.
Right.
See, so you've got to hear the word.
Yeah.
And when you do, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
God is going to give you what? He's going to give you more faith.
Mm-hmm.
And without faith, what?
It's
impossible to please God.
That's right.
Why? Because those who come to him must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them to diligently seek him. See, diligently seeking him, would that mean any of those things on that list that we read?
Oh, yeah.
I'm diligently seeking him, but I'm a whoremonger.
No.
And I am, what else did it say here? All these things. I'm a murderer.
A blasphemer.
That means to speak injuriously against God.
I'm seeking God like that.
Am I seeking him if I'm doing that?
No.
See what I'm saying? So it's just the opposite. Then what did he tell Timothy? Verse 12, read that again. 4:12.
And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me for that he heard me faithful.
Oh, he's on this phone. You're on one again. We're on 4 now. Go to 4.
4:12.
I'm sorry, chapter 4. I probably didn't say that. Chapter 4, verse 12.
Let no man despise thy youth,
mm-hmm.
but be thou an example of the believers,
mm-hmm.
in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Mm-hmm. Now read verse 13.
Till I come, give attendance to reading. To exhortation.
Mm-hmm.
To doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See that there's three things. Till I come, this is what you do, Timothy. Give attendance. That means keep yourself involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
Attend unto this. Don't neglect this.
Right.
To what?
Neglect not the gift.
What is the thing? To reading. Okay. See that?
Mm-hmm.
I've had people tell me, oh, you have too many verses in your message. Are you kidding me? Give attention to reading.
You have too many verses in your message.
Oh, I'm just going to take a half of a verse and I'm going to preach. Oh, you are. Okay. Go ahead.
Wow.
You know, and I want you, my duty as a teacher is to get the word into the people.
Because
it's not me, it's not the fruitless kind of stuff I might say that helps you. It's the word of God that's going to help you.
Yes.
So if you're not consuming the word of God, wherever you are not being fed. The seed of the word is not being cast into your life, and it will not grow because it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
How can it grow if it's not there? If you have a backyard and you plant nothing in it and it's bald and empty, and you don't put nothing back there, what's going to grow back there?
It's going to be bald and empty.
That's right.
I go back there and I put some tomatoes and some okras and greens and some corn and some weeds, potatoes and apple tree and all that. What am I going to have back there then? I'm going to have some stuff growing, right?
Yeah, baby.
So you got to get the word.
The word.
You have to get the word. Otherwise, you have nothing to be fruitful with. How are you going to be fruitful? And the seed has never been sown in your life. gonna give y'all a half a verse this morning. Oh, okay, boy. And not to say the half a verse is not good. It right. is, if I can make that verse very explicit and break it out and all that. But if I do, I better be trying to define it with scripture so you understand it better.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So I'm not criticizing a person because I sometimes can just take a line, just like mostly over there, that message of unity, let God rise. Okay, now how can you work that into different parts of the scripture to help you understand how he can rise in your life?
Right.
See what I'm saying? So there's ways you can do that with just little said, but he says give attention to reading.
Yeah.
See that? Exhortation. What does that mean? That means sometimes you read, you may be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you read what God said and you go, oh, I'll never be right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you think. So I'm supposed to exhort you. That means to say you will be right.
Yeah.
Keep on walking with God.
Mm-hmm.
See, keep trusting him.
Mm-hmm.
And watch him put these things in your life. Watch the fruit start to grow.
Yeah.
You know, pray to him, tell you how to attain what God has said.
Yeah.
See, that's what exhortation is. You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you believe him, you will do this.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm praying that you do this. And so is God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God wants us to do everything he said. So that's exhortation.
Mm-hmm.
See that? And what else does it say?
To doctrine.
Okay, doctrine is teaching facts about the word. Facts about the word, facts about God, facts about angels, facts about the grave. There's a lot of stuff you want to know in the world. God has doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is the doctrine of salvation?
Mm-hmm.
Like we're talking about here now.
Mm-hmm.
See, doctrine of salvation is that salvation is eternal. God gives it.
Yes.
He gives it on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ alone. These are the facts about doctrine, about the gospel of how people are saved.
Mm-hmm.
See, he gives it by hearing his word. And we start to talk about it. He develops it in the life of those who believe.
Amen.
You know, he puts it to on display by people who he gives to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn all that. That's all doctrine that just came out of what we said here.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
And there is a difference between the righteous and the wicked.
Right.
The righteous practice righteousness. The wicked practice wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? And so you can start taking that all right out of what we just said. If we were to make an outline, we could probably write down each one of us 10 different things we just learned.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a doctrine. The doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of faith. The doctrine of grace.
Yes.
The doctrine of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So these are different teachings, things that God teaches on a particular subject. We could say his doctrine. Now read on. Now notice what he says there. Verse 14, somebody.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee,
mm-hmm.
which was written,
which was given
thee by prophecy,
mm-hmm.
with the laying on the hands
of the presbytery.
Presbytery.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, the presbytery, this would be elders in the church. That's the word presbyteros in the Greek. And it means other people in the church who were before you.
Mm-hmm.
Even it includes his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice. Because they poured into his life from a child. It says you have known the Holy Scriptures. You'll see that later on here.
Mm-hmm.
He says don't neglect the gift. It's a gift that comes from God, the ability to teach.
Mm-hmm.
He says which is in thee. See that? That's God the Holy Spirit now.
Mm-hmm.
Which was given thee by prophecy, which is a way of describing God's word. And all of the word is prophecy.
Right.
Because God spoke it.
Right.
It means to speak before.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? People would like to twist this, but it really is talking about the word of God. It's prophecy, because God has given a word. It's prophetic because some of it hasn't even happened, and it tells you with the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
So all of it is prophecy,
mm-hmm.
from Genesis to Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you understand, so it was given to you by prophecy. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then what else does it say there?
With the laying on
the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Now that lets you see there should be a succession of leadership in the church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The persons in the generation before lay hands on the people in the next
generation
to pass the gift to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hamilton laid his hands on me
mm-hmm.
when I was ordained.
Right.
Somebody laid their hands on him from Olivet Church when he was ordained.
Right.
And somebody before that laid their hands on him, and it's been passing it on down. That's why you can't just jump up and proclaim yourself a teacher. In the church. I don't need to be ordained. Yes, you do.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, you do. Somebody has to confirm that you have the gift and loose you and let you go.
Absolutely.
That's what it says right there. You can't just jump up and say, I'm self-ordained. No, you're not. None of that. Going online, that doesn't get it. Somebody who's experienced in the faith has
to
ordain you and say you're okay and loose you and let you go. See what I'm saying? So there it is. That's doctrine.
More than one. That's right.
See, well, it's always more than one. There's like, that's why it says the presbytery. That's plural.
Like plural.
You look at that there. By the laying on of hands of the presbytery.
Right.
Now, how do you get better? Read on verse 15.
Meditate upon these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yield thyself wholly to them.
Mm-hmm. Now, here it is. This is the verse I want you to see. That what?
That thy property may appear to all.
See, now people should be able to look at you and see that what God has given you is growing.
Right.
It's getting better. You're moving forward.
They can see your gift.
The gift is evident.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can see it. It's obvious.
See the gift, right?
It's not like, well, I don't know. You know, I wonder about you. You know, we see it. We
can
see
it. Yeah, you can see it.
You know, because things are moving forward, and it's what God said. How do you get it? By meditating. That means chew on it in your mind over and over.
Prayer.
See that? Praying, seeking God. Give yourself wholly to it, entirely.
Right.
You see, be devoted to it.
That's right.
That thy profiting may appear to all. Now notice this. Verse 16 is powerful. Read this. Somebody.
Take heed unto thyself.
Now, go ahead.
And unto the doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Continue in them.
Mm-hmm.
For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Now look at that. Why would you tell the person teaching, take heed to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What? That sounds strange.
Mm-hmm.
Take heed to yourself.
For yourself.
Why though? Think about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How can you teach someone else something if you don't know?
Right, that's true. But I mean, he's saying what you're teaching is really is for you too.
Because
it's coming from God,
right.
And it's not just for them.
Right.
It's for you too.
Check yourself out.
See what I'm saying?
Make sure you
take heed to yourself.
To yourself. Make sure you're in within
the That's right. And God has given it to you. It's a gift. You don't have it because you're anything.
Right.
God has given it to you to teach them. But you better listen to it also.
Absolutely.
Because it didn't come from you.
Amen.
It came from here, out of his word, from the prophecy of God, into your mind, by his gift.
Right.
And it's not just for them, it's for you too.
I know that's right.
So don't let the preacher say, well, I'm above all that. That's for all y'all. No, it's for you too.
It's for you.
Mm-hmm. You see that? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. It's for you also.
Mm-hmm.
Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save who? Both thyself.
Yourself.
That's if you do what you teach.
Right.
You can't just teach it and not do it. And them that hear thee. See what I'm saying? So there's two folks that will get saved and continue in the doctrine. That's the preacher and the students. You must continue in it also.
That's right.
And your profiting should appear to all. It should be evident.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? So that's what I wanted you to see there. So James is saying the same thing. If you're getting saved and God is saving you, then you're growing. You're not sitting there stagnant. I'm not looking at you for a piece of shriveled up fruit every now and then. You know, I'm looking for an abundant growth of fruit, and it should be obvious.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? I'm not looking for raisins. I'm looking for grapes with you. Know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Right.
The raisins are shriveled up. Now they've been in the sun too long. So we're looking for some fresh grapes on the vine. See what I'm saying? So looking back at James, James is really concerned about that, though, and he wants to make sure nobody thinks that you can just slide through and say, oh, I'm all right, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the precious Holy Ghost. But you don't have any idea what God said, and there's no change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something ought to be changing in your life.
Or you should
be
getting nothing.
See what I'm saying? So he says here, look at, now let's go to this one. And this is some of the ways you can know that you have growth. Let's go to chapter 2. Somebody read just the first verse or two here.
My brethren,
mm-hmm.
have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
the Lord of glory, with respect of person.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You give an example.
If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in godly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment.
Mm-hmm.
And ye have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and said unto him, sit thou here a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool.
Read on, verse 4.
Are ye not then partial in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
and are become judge of evil thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Now look at that. He gives an example here. This is really something, I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church, it really needs to read this and meditate on it.
Right.
He gives a good example. And the first thing he's trying to show you is that God is not a respecter of persons. God does not care.
Right.
Let's say he makes no difference between a rich person is well-dressed and a poor person in vile raiment. That's filthy clothing, some translations say. You know, the church does make such distinctions. I heard about one church. They said, oh, if you're in jeans, y'all sit over there. And the folks with the suits on, y'all sit over here. And they had different spots. If you speak in tongues, sit over there. And I said, well, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding. The ushers are sending people different spots depending on how they're dressed. And if they speak in tongues or not.
Right.
Is that weird or what? I mean, have you ever heard of anything?
I ain't never heard nothing like that.
I said, wow, you got to be kidding me.
So they're coming to the door. They say, you speak in tongues?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sit over there. Sit over there. Yeah. I said, oh, I see. So here it is. Now, he gives a great example. He says, for if they're coming into your assembly, a man with a gold ring and in goodly apparel, he's decked out, we would say.
Mm-hmm.
And there come also a poor man in filthy clothing.
Mm-hmm.
They both show up at your church.
Mm.
And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. It says we have to watch that translation.
Gay clothing.
Right. Back in those days, it just meant colorful, festive clothing.
Right.
Gay clothing. Now this might have a whole new meaning.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
And say to the poor, stand over there.
Mm.
Or sit under my footstool. Get over here. You know, we don't want you sitting on our nice clean pew. You sit over here and we get you a chair.
Because
your clothes are dirty. If you do that, God says, are you not become, are you not being partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts? It says with evil motives in some translations. You see what I'm saying? He says, you sitting here and judge the person based on what they have on, rather than
their worth.
The fact that God loves both of them equally.
Right.
He has no respect of persons. Now notice, read on verse 5.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him?
Now the issue is, do the people love God?
That's it.
Do they love God?
That's the issue.
It's not a matter of, are you fancy like me?
Right.
Or can you meet up to our dress code or any of that? It's, do they love God?
Amen.
See that? Read on, verse 6.
But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat?
Right. See, it's the folks with the money that say, well, I'm going to sue you because you spilled coffee on my new suit. Or whatever, just to give an example. They had the money to sue you, and they're going to drag you to court.
Right, to the court.
Well, I stumbled over your stuff or whatever. They're always kind of, you know, looking for a reason to pick and find fault, and they're the ones going to drag you to court. The poor man wouldn't do that.
Right.
He's not even able to do it.
Right.
So if you have any trouble, it's not going to be from somebody like that normally. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I read on. Verse 7.
Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by thee which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself, and ye do well.
Now keep in mind, this does not necessarily mean buy him an egg McMuffin.
No.
Like we said on Sunday.
Right.
I'm just kidding. Remember I told you that I saw that sign with the big old egg McMuffin?
Yeah.
Talking about love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor.
I said, oh, I see. Oh, okay. They wanted to have buy one, get one free. You know, so they said, but get one for your neighbor, which that would be okay, but I'm just saying the thing that blew me away.
Right.
This is the McDonald's Corporation.
You know,
and you putting that up there like you really believe that.
Right.
You know, you didn't have it up there before. Now what are you saying?
Some I mean, them Christians in
here. Yeah, let's get the Christians in there and get them to buy a few of these sandwiches. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I guarantee you they won't put no scripture under that.
Right.
I guarantee you that.
See what I'm saying? But anyway, I just thought about that because I mentioned that on Sunday. But he's saying here, do they not blaspheme the worthy name by the which ye are called? See? because they oppress the poor and despise the poor, and the rich men are the ones who give you the most trouble. You know, read on. If you fulfill, he said, if you fulfill the royal law, see that? According to the scripture, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You're doing well if you can just do that. That's what Jesus said, right? He said, what's the royal law? What we call it, the golden rule, right? And that's what? Do unto others. Do unto you. You see what I'm saying? Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Right.
Simply put, you know, if you want them to not be concerned about, I mean, treat people the way. Right. And I've told that to people, and I said, well, it makes no difference because God will not judge you for how somebody treats you. Did you know that?
Right.
But he's going to judge you for how you treat someone else.
Somebody else, right.
See, so if they don't treat you right, that's not your problem.
Right.
See, and you have to get in that mindset where I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated no matter how you treat
me. That's right.
I'm glad
it doesn't have anything to do with how you treat me.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that because, I mean, even Christians have the wrong concept because they feel that because they're doing something good for someone, then that person's supposed to do something in return good back to them. So if they do the opposite, then they feel that, well, hey, I don't want to have nothing to do with them.
Right. Well, see, but that's where you got to be careful.
Right.
God said, I'm going to judge, he's going to judge Fisher for how Fisher treats other people.
Right.
See? So that's why my reaction, if you treat me bad, which I've had that already, had a big lots of it.
Yeah.
I had a person that would just intentionally slander me in front of other people. And they were looking like, boy, did you hear that? You know? And they were expecting me to say something like ignorant like he said. And I didn't do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that's why Proverbs said, never argue with a fool.
That's right.
Because then everybody will know which one is the fool.
That's what
I'm saying?
That's what they are.
So when you don't argue, they don't know. You look worse because I'm not arguing with you.
And that makes them even more.
You know, and I don't. You have to say a word. Everybody there understands which one is the fool.
Okay.
Yo,
just let them keep talking.
And I'm not doing it to make you look like a fool. It's just that I'm treating you the way I want to be treated.
Right.
Regardless of how you treat me. See?
That's it. Right.
So, because I want God to understand that I'm doing this. Just like Daniel or other people you see. Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Look at all the examples you have.
Wow.
Job.
Yeah.
His friends slandering him. Saying, man, you got some kind of hidden sin. That's why you're getting tortured like you're doing. And God is smiting you, dude. You know? And he knew that was not the case. See? So no matter what you say, my account is right with God.
Right.
See? And his wife even came in. Man, why don't you just cuss God and die? Look at you. You're pitiful. Scraping pus out of your balls with a pot shirt. A piece of shred of pot just to get the pus off it.
Yeah, get to him. Yeah.
Just cuss God and die. He said, foolish woman.
Rotten away.
He says, shall we receive blessing from the Lord and not adversity?
Right.
You know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where we get that song. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right out that verse from Job. You see what I'm saying? So you hold on to your integrity no matter what. This is the stuff you have to pray about. You can't just do this easily.
No.
We could say, oh, I'd like to do that. And sometimes you don't feel like that. That's the whole contest. Now, somebody talk about you, Chucky is subject to show up. You know, call you something. And you know, it used to be, I remember I delighted in that when I was just in the world. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I delighted in that. You call me something, oh, I got one for you. You think that was something? You ain't never heard one. Like I told you, I used to cut you so low you could sit on a cigarette paper and swing your leg. And I thought that was good, you know what I'm saying? You said something to me, okay, you got one coming. You know.
Yep.
And then you're going to think twice now. You know, you go back and forth, joining each other and all that stuff, you know. Then somebody get mad. Usually what happens, then now we want to fight. Usually when you say something about your mother. Now that's it. You know.
That's it.
So you can only go so far, and then next thing you know, Chucky shows up. Then it's going to all... It might turn into anything, any kind of a mess. But you get the word, and James already told us that, which he's going to tell us some more later, about bridling your tongue.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? So right now he's just talking about the way you treat people in general, mm-hmm. off the top, and he says that if you don't do this, that you blaspheme the worthy name by which ye are called. Because God has no respect of persons. So this is a whole little section on not having respect of persons. Yes. To treat everybody equally.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we have to pray on that.
Amen.
It's not going to be your first thought to do that.
Right.
You know, some people kind of nice, got a sweet spirit and all that. Mm-hmm. But other people, they might be offended if somebody is a certain way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know? It might be you had some stuff in your life in the past, like you might be offended by drunk people because mm-hmm. you had somebody who was drunk that did wrong stuff to you mm-hmm. when they were drunk. Mm-hmm. And now here comes a drunk person, and you automatically put your guard up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, instead of saying this is a pathetic soul that mm-hmm. God loves.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we misjudge people all the time. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many times I mentioned to people about going to a shelter. And they think everybody in the shelter is a dope addict, or they're, they done something stupid. And you go down there, and you'll find out there's people in here who just had a bad set of circumstances, and they're just like you, and they just came several paychecks short of being able to mm-hmm. pay their rent, right. and now they're in the shelter,
right. mm-hmm.
or they lost their job.
Yeah.
One guy I met there was a doctor. I had a doctor come up to me after the service and he told me exactly what I needed. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to tell me he was a physician. Mm-hmm. And he got stuck on a prescription drug because he was a physician that could write prescription. Mm-hmm. He said, but I know what I need to do now. And I went back there and never seen him again. Mm-hmm. So apparently the Lord got a hold of him mm-hmm. in the message. And I haven't seen him. I don't know what happened. But you never know who you'll see there.
I
had a guy who was a WashU graduate, had a degree in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to work for a company. He said his wife died. The company's start to outsource. He was in shipping and receiving to UPS mm-hmm. and neutralized his department.
Mm-hmm.
He was in his 60s now, and he was near retirement, but then he spent everything he had when his wife got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she died, and he had to bury her.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up with no money,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't find a job. People wouldn't hire him because he was too old.
Mm-hmm.
And now he said he had to get rid of his dog because the shelter wouldn't accept the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so now here I am. And this is a man who had a degree from WashU.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, okay. That's not the person you think might be in the shelter.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
My teacher at that time.
Yeah, we went one time, and who was it?
One of my high school science teachers was in the shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So you don't ever know who's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Huh? It could be you.
That's right. See what I'm saying?
True, yeah.
So, but we don't think that way. You say shelter, and automatically, you know, folks start thinking drunkards and dope folks and you know, crack addicts, and we start thinking about negative people. And there's some of them there too.
Yeah.
You know, but God loves them all. So that's what we have to get is where we understand, no matter who they are and how out of the way they are, God loves them.
He loves them, right?
See. And the way we start thinking like God, now we're trying to, that's what James is doing, trying to program us to think like God thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why he says, brethren, at the first verse here, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons.
Because
the mission is to go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. How many is that? Is that include the shelter folks, the drunks?
Everybody.
You know? And some of the people who are a little bit more offensive sometimes are people who are in jail. Oh, you in jail, you must have done something. Well, there are some innocent people in there.
Yes.
But most of them are not. And let me change that. Let me say there are no innocent people in there because everybody is guilty.
Yeah.
We've all done something and broke the law, but we didn't get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they say only 1 out of 5 who breaks the law goes to jail.
Mm-hmm.
So that means 4 of them are sitting right next to you or live next door to you on your street. See what I'm saying? Or it might be you. You see what I'm saying? Who broke the law and didn't get caught.
Didn't get caught.
Okay, so the people in there have a label on them because they're of the 20% of the ones who are incarcerated.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Doesn't mean they're necessarily, but there are some really sick people in there that really did, like, went way out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you do have, like, an extreme in both, in all the areas. They might be just slightly jacked up or completely whacked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might have somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer in there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the radius goes from somebody who got caught with a joint
mm-hmm.
to somebody who's a mass murderer that cuts up folks and eats them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Keeps them in the freezer. I mean, okay, if you want to just put a range on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or even somebody like Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who did all the kind of stuff he did. I mean, mm-hmm. you can go on and look, you know, the kind of folks you might run into. And still, even at that, God loves them people, whoever they are, no matter how whack they may be.
Yes.
And it's hard to get your mind on, okay, God loves them, and they are redeemable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Jesus died for them.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
See, if they don't believe, that's their fault. But it's not my purpose is to get to where I can tell you what God requires of you.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's up to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You know, and he promised that I'll be with you every time you speak my word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to convict the world. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he has come, will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
And judgment.
Right. Sin because they believe not on me, which is the only sin for which I cannot save you.
Right.
If you fail to believe in me, that's a sin that you cannot be forgiven for.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit is telling you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ every time the gospel is preached.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't preach alone.
Mm-hmm.
When I preach, the Holy Spirit is there convicting people of sin everywhere, no matter where. Whether it's in the church, the jail, the shelter, on the street, he's always there. He says, when you tell the truth, I will be there to convict the world. He says, not the church, but the world of sin because they believe not on me. Righteousness because I go to the Father.
Right.
And Jesus said, I'm righteous because I'm the only one left from the Father, came here, accomplished his work, paid the bill, and went back to the Father. That lets you know I'm perfectly righteous because God cannot receive any unrighteousness.
Right.
So he's perfectly right. He is the righteous one. See, Christ, the righteous one. He's the only one that came in the world, born of a woman, lived a whole full life, paid the debt of sin by his own will, and went back to the Father. See? And seated at the right hand of God, mission accomplished.
Yes.
So there's only one. He said, righteousness because I go to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Sin because they believe not on me, righteousness because I go to the Father, and judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That's John 16.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? That's Satan. So the prince of this world has been judged.
Mm-hmm.
And when you preach or tell people the truth, that's what they learn. And the Holy Spirit teaches them that. That's not your job.
That's right.
But the Spirit of truth, when he has come, will convict the world. That's what he said. So I know that. Every time I share the gospel, I know the Spirit of God is here convicting the world. That means anyone I'm talking to.
Yes.
Of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's his duty, and he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, so I don't mind. And if you don't believe me, that's okay. You know, I'm done. I go home, go to bed, sleep well. I told you the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, and if you didn't, I don't know if you believe me or not.
Yes.
It's really not my business.
Because
one plants and another waters.
Mm-hmm.
But God gives the increase. So if you did believe, good. That's good. That's what God wanted.
That's what he wanted.
If you didn't believe, good. For me, because I did my part.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we always want to be found doing our part and showing our respect to persons, no matter who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get there.
Yes.
If we're not there, that's when we have to stop and say, okay, I need to pray about this because I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
See? And God will bring you there because that's where he wants you to be. That's why James is an excellent book. It's the Bible is incomplete. Now, James. Martin Luther said it's a strawy epistle because it's so different than all the rest of the work in the scripture. And some people didn't want to include it in the canon. They argued about is James. You know, is the canonicity of it, as they call it, which is the standard by which things are put in the Bible. See? And so there's a lot of confusion over it, but I love it. It's a great book. Because it stretches you in some areas that other stuff doesn't in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So we're done. I just wanted to... So hopefully, any questions, comments, anything at all?